Ashes are very clearly a symbol of death, of an end, that something was there once but is now no longer. Ash is what is left behind when a fire tears through a building. When nothing else is left standing, the ashes will remain. In Scripture, ashes are a sign of mourning and of loss. In the Old Testament in particular, we see examples of people in mourning covering themselves in sackcloth and ashes, accompanied with weeping and wailing, these very visceral and vocal responses to loss, all while covered in this deep symbol of death, the ash. We as people know that death is inevitable. As the saying goes, nothing is certain except death and taxes. And so as we come to Ash Wednesday, we are confronted with that reality of death. It will literally be placed across our minds, on our foreheads, as we hear the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." This phrase, originally from Genesis, is a reminder of that impermanence of life and the inevitability of death. In the passage from Mark that was just read for us a few moments ago, Jesus foreshadows his own death, telling the disciples that the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him. This is now the second time in Mark's gospel that we read of Jesus telling the disciples what is to come and some details about his death. From this point on in Mark's gospel, from chapter 9 onward, we are on the road to Jerusalem with Jesus. These are the last number of days before the plot that was there to take his life comes to fruition. As Jesus journeys to his death on the cross, we will journey with him to the cross as well. Today, with this Ash Wednesday service, we mark the beginning of a season of Lent. Between now and Easter, not including the Sundays, we have 40 days to prepare for the reality, the meaning, and the weight of the cross. Lent is supposed to be a season of preparation, much like Lent's sister season of Advent, which is the period of weeks leading up to Christmas, as during Advent we realign ourselves with God's people who were waiting for the Messiah to come, and they prepared for the Messiah, and we too prepare for the coming Messiah, for the arrival of Christ. I also appreciate, in this very poetic way, how in this pocket of the world here in North America, throughout Advent, the days are getting darker and darker, shorter and shorter. And each week in that Advent season, even as it gets darker and darker, we light a candle every week in protest of that impending darkness. And in that hopeful action of setting light to dispel the darkness, we actively declare that the light of the world has come and will come again. Now, throughout Lent, this season, the days are poetically getting longer and longer as we turn toward the lighter seasons of spring and summer. The word Lent finds its root in the idea of spring, of lengthening, and it's a bend toward light, toward life, toward hope. And as we journey with Christ to the cross, we are reminded that while, yes, Jesus will die, as he tells his disciples here in Mark 9, he also tells his disciples that that is not the end of the story, because after 3 days, he will rise again. Death will not have the final word. There is hope. So we wait for that hope. But in the spirit of Lent, we are not to sit by idly in our waiting, but instead actively prepare for the reality of Christ's death and resurrection. Lent affords us this set season and time to realign ourselves with what it means to follow Christ, to realign ourselves with the reality of God's kingdom, which means that a huge part of Lent is repentance. Repentance is more than simply saying you're sorry. It is much, much deeper than that. I appreciate author and theologian Esau Macaulay. He writes, "Lent is inescapably about repenting. Repentance is a change in direction, a spirit-empowered turning around. Repentance, then, is the first step we make toward God. But to turn toward God, we must turn away from something else. That something else is our sins. Sin is all the ways that we have put something as more important than God. all the ways we have acted selfishly and have broken relationships and damaged people, and that could be intentionally or unintentionally. Sin is what separates us from God. Again, Esau Macaulay writes, God's call to repentance is a call to give up those things that can only bring death. Ash Wednesday calls us to remember death, and by calling us to remember death, it calls us to remember what causes death, sin and rebellion. By forcing us to remember our sin, it helps us realize that at the bottom, our sin are lies as to the true source of our joy. As part of our repentance and in an effort to realign with God's kingdom and what it means to follow Christ, another important aspect of Lent is how we act, specifically some practices that we engage with. And we might choose to either forego certain practices to make space to focus on God and to rely more fully on who God is, or we might add in a practice that would also help us to focus on God. Many will choose to forego things during this Lent season as a way to dedicate more time and attention to God. We might fast from food as a way to demonstrate reliance on God for sustenance and strength. One might abstain from social media, perhaps, through this season of Lent, and instead use that time, don't just abstain, but use it for something else. That was all that time that was once spent, let's be honest, doom scrolling these days. And then in terms of adding practices, there are a number of things that are historically associated with this season, like scripture and prayer, giving and serving. This is why we have actually chosen to open our Olivet food pantry during this season as an intentional action to serve, to address real needs in our community. When we look at the passage that was just read for us in Mark, we see Jesus sit down with his 12 disciples because he has something really important to share with them. Rather than standing and teaching, as is common in our culture, in Jesus' time, when you sat down and taught, it was this posture of a rabbi, of a wise person, sharing that wisdom to their followers. And the wisdom that Jesus shares is that anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. This is a very countercultural idea that remains countercultural to this day, that to be the best is actually to be humble. To be number one is to actually be the very last. To be at the top is to actually be a servant. The kingdom of God has completely different ideas about hierarchy, a very different framework. He then acts out this idea with essentially a live action parable. And he welcomes a child into his arms and tells the disciples, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. Children did not have positions of honor in this time period. At this time, they were often treated just like slaves in the house, as servants. And for Jesus to welcome a child into a gathering of other adults, into this important time of spending time with the rabbi, hearing that wisdom, to welcome a child into that environment, Jesus was emphasizing the upside-down nature of the kingdom of God and calls his disciples to live out a different type of life. This is a life of service, of humility and love, where the admirable thing is to care for another person, where the best choice is to give generously. Give till it hurts. Give so much that we may go without what we want in order to make sure someone else has exactly what they need. As we journey from now until Easter, 40 days, 40 days of preparation and realignment, let's begin with repentance, an acknowledgement of our sin and our reliance on God, and turn back to God. And then let us consider the ways that we can prepare for Easter, for Christ's death and resurrection. What practices might we add in this season to help us focus on God? What can we forego or fast from to make space to focus on God? How can we serve, pray, study God's word, give generously? Let us remember our very first love, Jesus Christ. Let us choose to align our hearts and minds and actions with him and the way of the kingdom of God. Let us welcome Christ and the discipleship of this season by welcoming all, just as Jesus welcomes the child. I would like to share with you an invitation to the observance of Lenten discipleship, and this is from the Book of Common Prayer. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the Church, to the observance of a holy Lent, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, and to make a right beginning of repentance, and as a mark of our mortal nature, let us now kneel before the Lord, our Maker and Redeemer. Amen.